Now,
yes,
they've all done one. The firemen, the ICA, and even the soccer referees. Some in costume and some with barely any clothes on at all. Yes, it's calendars. And the Coombe Hospital in Dublin have just launched its 2013 When I Grow Up calendar. Now, I have to say, I love this because Brenda showed it to me, and in fact, she's showing it to David as well, who joins us. We'll talk to David in a moment. The calendar features 19 children born at the Coombe and who spend a significant period of time being cared for in the hospital's neonatal unit. Each month of the year shows a before and after image of them illustrating their size when they were born and the current image of them exploring their dreams of what they want to be when they grow up. It's a really novel idea and it's a great, beautiful calendar. And you just keep flicking through the pages. Brenda.
Yeah, I love this calendar. I mean, I love naked calendars of men. I can't deny it. Firemen.
You're going back
that.
To your celebrity banished door
I
again.
I am, yes, Michael Cullen, GAA.
Oh, come on, Kildare.
Best calendar ever. But this is a really special one. And when you see the little pictures of the little babies when they're in their incubators, and there they are as bakers, as ballerinas and whatever. It's just really cute. And the money is going to a very good cause because it's going to the neonatal centre at the Coombe Hospital, which cares for more than 1,000 babies each year. And it's made up of the neonatal intensive care unit and the high dependency unit as well. And did you know that kind of between 15 and 20% of newborn infants need to be admitted into this facility, whether they're underweight or for whatever reason. There's obviously a vast array of reasons. But anyway, I went along to find out some of the stories behind the pictures in this calendar. And can I just say, we have details of how you can buy the calendar on the Mooney Show website, www.friendsofthecoombe.ie is where you get it. Cost €10 and includes postage, so you apply for them. I want to say that in case I don't get a chance to say it at the end of the show, where the studio actually explodes on us, Martin.
But I feel there's a huge explosive ending coming to this show today. But anyway, keep going, Brenda.
Anyways, when I went to the Coombe and I was talking to some of the people involved in the calendar, I met this wonderful woman called Andrea Dermody, and she's from Selbridge in County Kildare. And on the 17th of July 2008, she gave birth to twin girls, Taylor and Alexandra. And can I just demonstrate something for you? Because I brought something in just to show yourself and David. If I can just, like, they were born. Taylor was £2. I have brought in a bag of sugar. That's £2. Look at that bag of sugar. That was the size she was born. And Alexandra was £1. There's the icing sugar there, £1. When you look at that like that, it's quite shocking to think. There they are in the calendar. They're July. They're 4 and 5 and they want to be a doctor and nurse. So they're dressed up as a doctor and nurse. So I met Andrea and she told me their story of their birth and her experience with it. And but first I met Anne McIntyre, who's an amazing woman. If ever I needed to go in there again, which I won't, I want Anne holding my hand. And Anne is a clinical nurse manager at the neonatal intensive care unit in the Coombe Hospital. And she showed me around the unit. And then I met Andrea, mum to Alexander and Taylor, and she tells me their story.
Well, Brenda, this is the high dependency unit, and it's 10 cots here for the high dependency. Overall, we have 16 intensive care beds and 16 special care beds. Mm. So in total, we have around about 40 cots altogether, which is fantastic. And also, we look on the neonatal now as a family, and we'd be very family-centred. So when the parents and when the baby arrives, they become part of our family and we become part of their family, and that's how we work together here. Now, I'm going to bring you around now to intensive care unit.
Okay. I don't know if I want to go in.
Yeah, Brenda, that is very frightening. All right. Now, there will be monitors, alarms going off a little bit. See how you feel when you're walking through the door, but it can be quite frightening.
The children we're going to see in here are what?
All premature babies from 23 weeks up. We'll see full-term babies as well, too, that have been sick since birth. And we one baby actually, you know, cooling, and we have other babies as well, too. The majority are premature babies that you'll see. Well, this baby here is in an incubator with a blue light, which is a phototherapy light overhead. Mm. There's pumps here, infusion pumps, and there's also then the baby has a CPAP monitor. A CPAP is like a ventilator, just attached. That's where he has his little hat on his head, and he also has a little goggle, so the blue light isn't too bright for him.
If I'm coming down and I'm having a
Oh my goodness, looking at the children. Yeah. What must the parents feel when they come down and see their little baby surrounded by these monitors, ventilators and everything?
Well, that's the toughest part for them. And I think most importantly of all here, Brenda, is that the staff are brilliant in that they sit down and they talk with the parents and they explain everything, the monitors, the lights, the flashing, the noises, and are there beside the baby 24/7. So they're constantly with the babies all the time. So that in itself is a great support for the parents. Mm-hmm. And we always say to parents here, as they're part of our family and we're part of their family, then we work together and we just sit down and chat and support each other.
Bye-bye, little baby. He looks like he's going to make it, doesn't he?
He does. He looks very well. He's nice and settled and he's having to sleep there at the moment, Brenda.
And I'm sure like any job, it has its ups and downs, but here, more than many. When children don't make it, when children do make it, tell me it from your perspective.
Well, Brenda, the calendar in itself shows exactly where these babies have been, what journey of life they've been through the unit, and it's a great celebration when they get home and they start growing up and they come back in and see us. And we have a Christmas party and they're fantastic every year where they come back and have their celebrations, see Santa Claus and everything. Unfortunately, there are the babies that don't make it. When a baby does pass away, it's part of our journey as well. As the parents, and we try and make that journey. We do little booklets for the parents with handprints and footprints, little locks of hair, and we try and go on their journey with the parents as much as possible too.
Well, Anne, if I ever did end up in a neonatal unit, it's you I want holding my hand. There's no question about that.
Thank you very much, Brenda.
Thanks a million for showing me around.
Hello, Andrea. Great to see you again.
Hi, Anne. How are you keeping?
How are the girls getting on?
Great, thank you.
Getting big now.
Yeah, big and bold.
Andrea, lovely to meet you. Both your daughters are in the When I Grow Up 2013 Coombe calendar here?
They are, yes. I have twin daughters. They're four now, Alexandra and Taylor. And they were very lucky to be born here in the Coombe with the fabulous care and attention that they got here. So they've decided they want to be a doctor and a nurse when they grow up.
All right, take me back to 4 years ago. What happened?
We found out about 8 weeks into my pregnancy, we found out that the girls were mono twins, which means that I had one amniotic sac and one placenta. It's extremely rare, even in identical twins, for that to happen. And what it can mean is that as they grow, because they're in one amniotic sac, they can strangle each other because they're in one sac. So I knew from a very early stage, about 8 weeks, that the furthest I would get would be 32 weeks. And that I would have a cesarean and that the girls would be in intensive care. So I think in a way, from talking to other mums who've had this journey, and everybody's journey is different, but I almost knew from very early on that things weren't going to necessarily work out the way that you would see in the movies.
First pregnancy, very excited, twins, and then the idea they might strangle each other in your room. How did you sleep at night?
Well, my husband was brilliant. He's a good countryman, good GAA man, and he always said we're still in the game. We'd come in for a scan and we'd be waiting with bated breath to hear, yes, there are still two heartbeats. Mm. And he always believed, he hoped through the entire pregnancy and even when the girls were born early, he believed that we would be going home with two healthy little girls. So that helped me. So even when I had moments of doubt, he still believed. And I think that's part of that's one of the jobs you can do as a parent and only you can do, because the doctors and nurses can't hope for you. So that's one of the things I think as a mother of premature babies that I would say is something to hang on to, your hope, because it's the one thing that keeps you sane.
Talk me through the birth. Did you go 32 weeks? What happened?
No, I didn't actually. Anything that could go wrong did go wrong, although we had a good outcome, so can't complain. But about 20 weeks, we found out that as well as being mono twins, I had twin-to-twin transfusion, which basically means that the veins and arteries are cross-wired and one twin is getting more blood and nourishment than they should. And we would call her the recipient twin, and one twin is not getting enough. She's the donor twin. And the real challenge with twin to twin is timing. When do you deliver? You need to allow enough time for the donor twin to develop enough so that they are big enough and viable. But you can't wait too long because the recipient twin, their heart becomes enlarged because they're pumping too much blood. So Alexandra was the donor twin, my smallest baby. And about 20 weeks, they told us that she wasn't going to grow enough to be viable. So they more or less said, you need to more give up on Alexandra. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to help Taylor when she's born. But Alexandra was having none of it. She's a very stubborn little girl. And between 20 weeks and 28 weeks, she had grown enough that they were happy to deliver her.
Did yourself and your husband have to have discussions about this, about what you would do? Would you give up on her? Or just was it not an option?
We did talk about what would happen if we were to lose both of them, because that was on the table for a long time as well. And we talked about, even if the worst happened, we'd still have each other. And we made plans. We were going to take time off work and we were going to travel to Australia. And thank God I've never gotten to see Australia. So we had a good outcome.
So 28 weeks they brought you in. Was it cesarean?
Yes.
Okay.
So I was actually in the hospital. I was in the hospital a number of times because I was also diabetic. Okay. And I had my liver was compressed and I had threatened preeclampsia. So I was in the hospital for all of those different occasions.
This wasn't an ideal pregnancy.
No, definitely not. No.
It's not textbook.
Not what you choose to do. No, definitely no. Not. We knew that with twin to twin, after they're born, the smaller twin will do better. So we knew she would thrive. But we also knew there was a risk that Taylor's heart wouldn't hold out. And the first day she was born, she had 3 cardiac arrests, which means her heart stops completely. And they came down to me about 10 o'clock that night and said, we're after calling your husband to come back in because we don't think Taylor's going to make it through the night. At that stage, I hadn't even met them yet because, of course, it was a big operation, the cesarean that day, and I hadn't had an opportunity to meet them. I'd seen a picture, but I hadn't been able to meet them yet. And here the doctor was telling me, well, you might not get an opportunity to meet her. We had a very anxious night. I was very, again, the staff here were brilliant. They allowed my husband to stay and we stayed up most of the night and he stayed up beside her incubator telling her to fight and that we loved her and that we wanted her to come and join us. The following day, again, her cardiologist had looked at her heart again and said it was actually worse than they'd originally expected, and we would just have to wait and see. And again, we both believed very strongly that the best thing that we could do was hope. That was the best thing we could do for them, and they were still in the game, they were still fighting, so we owed it to them to feel the same way. It was overwhelming, and looking back on it now, and even people would say to me now, how did you cope? But when you're going through something like that, you just do because you have to, because your baby's depending on you to keep it together.
How long in total were they in the neonatal unit here?
Taylor was here for 13 weeks. And by that, at that stage, she'd put on enough weight to go home. She was about 5.5 pounds. Alexandra waited a little longer. She was another 2 weeks in the unit after we'd brought Taylor home. And she was under 5 pounds when we brought her home. I suppose like any new mom, bringing them home was completely overwhelming. Looking at this little baby in a Moses basket and wondering how the hell am I going to keep her alive after so many people have worked so hard to keep them alive this long. And you've all the usual concerns. But on top of that, you have lots of visits to the hospital. And you also have medication. Most of them go home on medication, even if it's only vitamins and iron. And in our case, Taylor went home on heart medication. So as well as organising bottles and being up in the middle of the night for feeds, you're up to give them medication and to hang over their cot, I suppose, like any new parent, and make sure they're still breathing.
I'm just flicking through the calendar here and I see your two princesses. Yeah. Aren't they gorgeous?
Yeah.
And we have a picture here of them both in their incubators when they were in the neonatal unit. And look at them now, all big, wanting to be doctors and nurses.
Yes, the great thing about being involved in something like the calendar is that you get to take something positive out of what could have been a very negative experience. And although we maintained hope through it, it's when you go home that you start to work through all those emotions and you realise what has really happened. And I'm very proud of them, Brenda, looking at them in that calendar. I really am. And I hope that their dreams come true because they can support Mommy and Daddy in their old age.
Andrea Darmody there talking about her twin daughters, Taylor and Alexandra, who are both now obviously 4 years of age. And they're beautiful in the calendar and mom is dead right to be proud. How can you get the calendar?
Well, we have the details, of course, on the Mooney Show website. It costs €10, including postage. And it's available also on the Friends of the Coombe website.ie. Friends of the Coombe.ie, €10. Really lovely Christmas present for a great cause.